Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to Pacific Basin conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer question. At which time, if you wish to ask the question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, 15th of January 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Mats Berglund. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and thank you everybody for calling in and for your interest in our company. My name is Mats Berglund, the CEO, and with me here today, I also have Andrew Broomhead, our CFO.
Good afternoon.
The purpose of the call is really to make ourselves available for questions as a result of our profit warning announcement. Just gonna briefly recap the announcement first. It's in two parts, as you've seen. First, a bunker derivatives charge of $31 million. And I do want to clarify that this is not speculating on bunkers. This is hedging against our fixed rate COAs, but we do not get hedge accounting on these derivatives, and as a consequence, we have to mark to market the derivatives, and we're not allowed to offset the lower actual bunker cost of the future bunkerings. So this is non-cash and really an accounting effect of the significantly lower bunker prices, and we hedge against the fixed rate COAs to keep the TCE maintained, and this is only an accounting effect. Second part of the announcement is another non-cash charge, being an impairment of our charter-in contracts, time charters, primarily done back in 2010 when time charter rates and values were significantly higher than they are today. We did not buy so many ships back then because of the high prices, but did some long-term time charters at these higher rates. We have bought a lot more ships recently, primarily 2013 at historically lower prices, and our proportion of owned ships is significantly increasing these years. We're happy with all the ships we have bought. We have good control of our operating expenses, and we're buying for the long term. We are in a period where we need to have patience, and freight rates are low. 2014 was a tough year. We will report the full year results 26th of February. And I apologize in advance that we cannot give too much more detail on these charges mentioned in the announcements, but we will give you more in the full year results announcements and in the annual report. Then you will be able to see the, you know, what the new break-even rates are after these charges, etc. But the announcement is a profit warning and not a full report, and hence we can only give limited information at this time. What I would like to do, though, before we open up for questions, is to just recap and repeat for you the one-offs that we've had in 2014. I can tell you that it really hurts in our hearts having to go through several one-offs during the 2014 financial year, but we're doing it just to help you recap the financial effect of those. So first portion of that, this announcement that we just did, the $101 million charge on the onerous time charter in contracts and the $31 million bunker charge. The second one-off I want to highlight is from our first half financial reporting. You will recall that we have a towage impairment of about 64 million, and we have a 5 million RoRo exchange rate loss, which has to do with a release of exchange rate reserves. This goes back to when we did the RoRo deal in 2012 of 5 million is that RoRo exchange rate reserve. We have these negative exchange rate releases both on towage and RoRo because back when the company invested in RoRo and the towage business, both the euro and the Australian dollar was stronger than when we sold these units, and this sits on the balance sheet and only gets released when the assets transfers to the new owner. The last RoRo went on delivery on the bareboat earlier in the year, and hence this 5 million. That is the last, though, touch wood on the RoRo charges. The last thing I want to remind you of as regards one-off is the sale of our harbor towage business that was announced a few weeks back before the holidays, resulting in a loss of 9 million of the harbor towage business. We will collect 74 million Australian dollars here early in the year, but we lost 9 million Australian dollars on that. We have another one of these releases of exchange rate reserves of another 9 million also announced. Again, that's the difference between the currency exchange rate compared to when we bought the business compared to when we sold the business now. Also on the towage side, we mentioned in our third quarter trading update that we had a customer in our offshore towage business, WDR, Western Desert Resources, that went into administration as a result of the low iron ore prices, and that we had an outstanding of $8.9 million, of which we expected to take a charge of about three-quarters of that amount, and that is $7 million. If you add these one-offs together, all of them, you get to $226 million. This is just to help you in your models, and remember these one-off charges. The underlying result, the result of our real business being the towage operations and the dry bulk operations for the first half of 2014, which we have announced right in the first half report, was a loss of $22 million. The one-offs and the first half loss together is about $250 million loss. Again, a vast majority is the one-off non-cash charges. The unknown you have to estimate the full year 2014 is obviously the second half underlying result. We're not in a position to give you any new guidance there, but I will repeat to you the previously written guidance on the towage portion, where we have seen very tough towage market conditions, and guided for that during the second half of the year. During the first half, you may recall that we lost $9 million of the $22 in the first half was lost on towage, and the rest was dry bulk and the central G&A. As regards our core business, a vast majority of our business, the dry bulk business, Handysize rates are weak. That's no surprise to you. You read that in the market reports. The index rates, the market index rates for the first half 2014, averaged $8,200 per day. And you can read from the various reports that the market index rates for the second half 2014 average lower than that. They averaged about $6,300 per day. So first half Handysize index rates, $8,200, and second half of 2014 index rates, $6,300 per day, lower than the first half. So again, apologize for not being able to give a new guidance on this call. We will when the full year results are ready. But we did want to make ourselves available, and at this point, we'd like to open up for questions from the callers. Thank you.
Certainly, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask the question now, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Timothy Ross from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Yes, afternoon, Matt, Sandra, and thanks very much for hosting the call and indeed your candor on the way your year is shaping up. I'm just interested to understand why you decided to impair those contracts now. Is this a view that the next 12 to 24 months is pretty much, you know, kind of same as we're experiencing now, or you expecting things to get worse?
Well, there's certainly other companies that have done this, which triggers the auditors to maybe look extra hard on these things. That's not the reason, but it's one of the contributing factors, right? Is that there's always this test, and the auditors are looking for it. But it's really a result of the forward markets having come down quite a bit, right? So the auditors look, and we look at the forward markets, and if you look at long-term time charter rates, they've come down quite a lot. You know, a year ago, expectations were very high. Now they've turned to be very bearish, right? So as we've mentioned before on these calls, sentiment tends to swing a lot in this business. Possibly it overshoots in both directions, but right now, very bearish sentiment, bearish outlook. FFA rates go out to 2018 and are very low. And five-year time charter rates, which you can read about in the Clarkson report, etc., have come down significantly. So the impairment is a result of several factors, but a more cautious outlook. We repeat what we have said before, right, that we think we are still in a slightly oversupplied market, and the 2010 upturn caused a new wave of ordering, which has now delivered, and the optimism a year ago caused more ordering, and we need this bearish sentiment now to stop the ordering and to reduce the order book. And that's really what we're going through now.
Right, thanks very much. And just a quick follow-up. Can you tell us how many vessels are subject to those onerous charters?
Unfortunately not, right? But you'll be able to work out more details from the 26th February numbers.
Thank you.
Andrew, do you want to... Is there anything more we can say, or
well, you can see in the paragraph on the chartering vessel cost that we talk about. It's a review of the group's pool of inward chartered Handysize and Handymax vessels. So you can see it is looking at the chartering vessels in aggregate as opposed to looking at individual vessels.
Yeah, so I suppose one way of looking at it is obviously in your list of chartered vessels. Those that were built after 2010 clearly aren't subject to this. And if you look at what is built before 2010 and divide that by the number of chartered vessels you have in Handysize and Handymax, it's about 27% of the chartered in fleet. Is that a number that is wildly distant from the actual number, or is that a sort of a ballpark approximation?
Can't really comment too much there, Tim, but I would say one thing, and that is that it's not uncommon, especially with long-term Japanese charters, that you enter into a long-term time charters. They are sometimes 5, sometimes 7 years long, and they are for new buildings delivering in the future, right? So your hypothesis that the year built before 2010 are only covered here is not accurate, because there's many time charter deals done, and some of them back 2010 for forward delivery. So the year could be built after 2010, if you understand what I mean. We do a lot of these long-term Japanese charters, right?
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Ruben Yap from CIMB. Please ask your question.
Hi, gentlemen. Just a very simple question for me. The fact that you have to provide for the mark-to-market on the bunker hedges into the P&L suggests that maybe you didn't hedge bunker directly, that perhaps you hedged Brent or something of that ilk. Is that correct? Because my understanding is that if you hedge bunker directly, you'd be able to write the mark-to-market differences into the reserves until it matures. Thank you.
Yeah, it's the fact that there's not a direct and exact link between the derivatives and the physical bunkerings, right? It may be varying in bunker port, in date, etc., right? So we enter into contracts of affreightment, which means that we commit to carry X number of tons from A to B during a certain period, right? But it's not an exact date and an exact port and an exact ship. So the auditors are a bit picky there, right? When you enter into an interest rate swap against a loan, it's a direct link, and you get hedge accounting for the interest rate swap. It is much tougher to get hedge accounting for hedging bunkers, because you know we don't know which ship at what date and in exactly what port, because you know we optimize our system and so on. But one thing is 100% sure, and that is that we are much better off trying to hedge than not hedging at all, right? Because what we're doing is we're trying to lock in the TCE of the fixed rate cargo contract. And when bunker prices go down in price, they're halved in price, you know, the last 12 months, we must hedge, right? And the next time they may go up the same amount, and even though it's not an exact match of the bunkering port and the date, etc., we are roughly rightly hedged. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I just add as well,
yes,
that yeah, you'd be right. If we were running a liner business, but we're not, it's a tramping business, for the reasons that Max mentioned.
Okay, thanks. And for all the COAs, you hedge 100% of your bunker commitments?
The answer is yes, right? But in some long-term cargo contracts, we do manage to get a bunker adjustment clause, and then there is no need to hedge, right? Then we just charge the actual bunker, or there's an after-the-fact adjustment. But in most of the, you know, 1 to 2 year or 18-month COAs, the customer wants a fixed gross freight, and he wants us to worry about hedging the costs of the operation, and one of those costs is bunkers. And we can sometimes do physical bunker contracts if we know that we are very frequently in a specific port. So we have some physical bunker contracts with suppliers, but most often we have to do derivative contracts with the banks. And again, with the scale that we have, we have reasonably good matching of the effect, so to speak.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much.
We don't hedge our spot portion, just to clarify that, right? So our spot business, for which we do not have an agreed freight rate, we do not hedge bunkers, and the shipping market kind of works on a TCE level. And unfortunately, we don't have a great benefit of the lower bunkers because it tends to be passed on to the customer by way of the shipping market, the negotiations, and ship owners thinking on a TCE basis, and not on a gross freight basis.
All right, thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask the question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from the line of King Tan from Daiwa Capital Market. Please ask your question.
Hi, good evening, guys. Just a quick question from me on any updates on your backhaul cargo routes, whether you've seen an improvement generally or stable since the third quarter?
Really no significant changes in our program there. So business as usual.
Okay. And in terms of the provisions that you made, the $101 million for the charter contracts, can I ask if there's a specific premium assumed when you do your modeling or when the auditors do their modeling in terms of, you know, to determine how much charges to book, or whether you just assume based on current spot without any premiums?
Again, it's a combination of many judgment factors, right? We mentioned some of them, and you know, one is also to the extent we believe that we can make a premium, but it's a conservative judgment that's used by the auditors and ourselves here, taking into account the FFAs, the long-term time charter market, and our own judgment. We are also highlighting the lower bunker prices, right, which unfortunately is negative. It may sound counterintuitive, right, but lower bunker prices stimulate higher speed, right, and that in turn is adding capacity to the fleet overall in the market, which is negative for freight rates, which in turn pushes freight rates down, right, or the level at which the freight rate level at which ship owners will speed up has come down a lot as a result of the lower bunker prices. So that also goes into the lowering of the assessment of the future markets. But again, you know, this is a cyclical market, and things change tremendously. And one of the things that changes more than anything is sentiment. And you know, the market, you know, not too many things have changed since a year ago, but sentiment has changed absolutely 180 degrees. But bunkers is one thing that has significantly changed the equation for ship owners to speed up, which is negative. So we highlight that as well.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Violet Yu from Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Hi. My question here is what are the rates you are assuming now, and could you please share how many days have been written down at this point of time?
Well, unfortunately, we cannot give that detail.
Okay.
So
So that will
be,
discussed during the annual results then.
We'll be able to work some of these things out, you know, because we tend to disclose at least break-even level and things like that, right? So we'll be able to work out from the...
Understand, yes. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question now, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from the line of Victoria Wong from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Hi, Max and Andrew. Thank you very much for doing this call. I appreciate it. Just a very quick question for me, and I just wanted to ask if you've been seeing any changes in the Handy size and Handy Max rates, especially considering the lower bunker prices. Thanks.
If you're referring to right now, the trend in the spot market is coming down, which kind of tends to be seasonal and at a slow period right now. So current rates, today's index rates for handy size is about 6.4 and handy max about 7.8, and they trended down for the last few weeks. They went up for a period at the tail end of last year. As you're thinking and modeling of these things, you should be reminded that you know we're fixing forward, right? So spot rates, you know, market levels now tend to show up in our financials, you know, about 45 days or 2 months later.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it works. But weak, historically very weak rates at this time. And current spot rates are kind of at around the level where they averaged for the second half of 2014.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, beyond the seasonality, do you see any, like, pressure from charterers because of the lower bunker fuel? Or do you think it's just right now the rates are low because of the seasonality?
Yeah, as mentioned, you know, this market tends to work on a TCE level, which is after bunker costs, right? And bunker cost tends to be the benefit of the charterer. It's a great time for charterers to take cover now, so to speak, because you know we can get the benefit of the forward low bunker prices. So shippers can use this timing to do more cargo contracts, and we're obviously trying to take advantage of that. But shippers are also kind of bearish at this time, right, with low commodity prices, etc. And you're not seeing a lot of people out there locking in long term, although they should, you know, given the low bunker prices and the low freight rates.
Okay, perfect.
But, you know, more up as a ship owner. There's certainly more upside than downside at this market position, right? But again, as we have highlighted in our announcement and earlier reporting, the market took negative surprises recently on the lower coal into China and the Indonesian export ban, and with many ships having delivered and with the slightly higher speeds, there's simply too many ships right now, and we need some unexpected positive surprises 2015 to see things tighten up. And this market is always driven by surprises. Again, we've had negative surprises recently. We just gotta wait and see for 2015 how things develop. But the market is soft, and there's more. Ships and cargoes out there in the market right now. Atlantic especially is falling right now. A little bit better holding up in the Pacific Basin.
All right. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Stephen Chang from Bank of Tokyo. Please ask your question.
Hi, Matt. do you expect any further impairment or charge for the year of 2014?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah. Do you expect any further impairment or charge for the year of 2014 after the announcement yesterday?
No. If you're asking about 2014, the answer is no, and obviously same thing for 2015. We don't expect any other impairment. If we would, we would have to take it now, so to speak. But as you can understand, right, we have worked hard during the last 2 years on focusing the company back to its core, where its true strengths are, which is the dry bulk business, Handysize and Handymax, and these towage impairments and ro-ro losses, etc., have been very, very painful. And as mentioned, it really hurts in our hearts to have to report to and go through a year like 2014, but we are certainly doing it in the best interest of our shareholders. And we see more long-term profitability and upside in dry cargo and in our core business than we did in ro-ro and towage, and hence we worked so hard with trying to get out of it. The timing of our entry back in 2008, 2009 into towage and ro-ro were totally different times, right? Asset values were very high at those times. This is the first impairment, during recent year on the dry cargo side. But again, it's the main reason, not the only reason, but the main reason are those contracts that were done, long-term contracts done back in 2010, when values were higher and expectations were very different than they are today. And again, we are happy with the investments we have done in recent time. And I'm very convinced that in the long run, they will deliver excellent returns to our shareholders. But we're at a cyclically extremely weak time still. And we just got to be patient, control our costs, make sure that we maintain our strength, that we continue to work on our cargo system, our COAs, and fine-tune our systems even further. But times are tough out there, and you got to turn every stone in times like these, and we are working extremely hard on that.
So can you share a bit about the view or outlook of 2015 about the business prospect?
I think I already did what I can there, so to speak. So I apologize, but not able to give more guidance at this time. Again, it's a profit warning, and we will report more in our full year accounts. I think you've got enough there, right? Again, it's a very weak market situation right now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask the question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. Your next question comes from the line of Doreen Carroll from Schroders. Please ask your question. Doreen Carroll from Schroders, your line is open. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks very much for taking my question. I just had a brief question on whether the outlook for the offshore towage business specifically has changed in the last few months or since you last commented on it.
We're not in a position to give new guidance on neither dry bulk or towage, but I can repeat what we stated in the announcement on the harbor sale, right, which is that the remainder of our towage business is roughly $50 million US dollars of investment, and a majority of that is positioned to the Middle East, and we have a majority of the remaining sea tow tugs and barges positioned in the Middle East, where they're doing work like carrying aggregate, etc. The Australian market is extremely weak and oversupplied, as we have said before. So tough times there. But on the other hand, we don't have that many assets left there after having sold our harbor business and sold our OMSA business. We've sold a few barges, as previously reported, and repositioned some to the Middle East. So that's what I can say about that. But again, I did repeat earlier, right, that the market conditions are tough on the towage front.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Sham Shalaram. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. I think following on from what you said, Matt, I mean, in this current climate, P&L is obviously important, but cash is king. Now, on the assumption that the $101 million impairment over the next few years is actually realized in negative cash flow, can you just touch on the pressure that will present to the group's cash flow?
Not specifically, but you know, Andrew, maybe you want to repeat our balance sheet situation as of June 30, which is the latest reported figure, the cash amount and the leverage, etc.
Yeah, I think if we look at the balance that we have, you know, our gearing remains very low at 39%. You know, as you can see, we have a table in there which shows you the cash obligations over the life of the loans, which remains undemanding. Clearly, this announcement doesn't change anything in relation to the cash that we are on the timing of the cash payments. So from that perspective, these are accounting charges and accounting changes which are coming through and reflecting.
Okay.
And the gearing ratio, obviously. Sorry, the gearing ratio obviously changes because of equity reducing, right, but not affecting cash, yes, Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
But so we're comfortable. We still maintain a strong balance sheet.
Okay. So on that assumption, can we assume that there's no sort of covenant issues with lenders?
Yeah, you can assume that, yes, correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question now, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Berglund. Thank you, sir. Please continue.
So, thanks again very much for your interest and your patience, and we hope to not have to go through a year with reported numbers like this ever again. You know, some years they say the best thing with the year is that it's over, so looking forward to better times ahead. Thanks very much again for calling in.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.